adult audience, Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Alanis Morissette is in studio tonight. Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Going out on tour with the Bare Naked Ladies, by the way, which is... I don't think I've ever seen the Bare Naked Ladies live, but I do have a concert CD of theirs, and they're very good.
They really are.
They're fun, right?
Funny. Great musicians.
Yeah.
Very inspiring to me.
Yeah, let me... tell me what your take on this is. And we're only going to talk about the Bare Naked Ladies for the first hour.
Great.
And then we'll go on to They Might Be Giants, and then we'll get to Alanis Morissette. But... Like the Bare Naked Ladies, like, I talk to people about the Bare Naked Ladies. I go, I love those Bare Naked Ladies. They're great guys, they're great musicians, a great band. And people are like, yeah, they sing that one song with the... And it's like, I'm always like, no, that's not their good song. They got a bunch of good songs. That's kind of their commercially almost crappy song that that's the only way... Your only knowledge of the band is through that one song that doesn't represent the band, which must... hasn't seemed to have happened in your career, but it does happen in a lot of careers.
Mm-hmm. Well, whenever one song is trying to represent a group of people or one artist, I think it's an impossibility. So,
yeah, but well, once in a while you get a Chumbawamba, which that's probably the song was better than the band.
Yeah, and it represented everything about the band.
Yeah, we didn't like Chumbawamba.
Their highest vision is what that one song
tub,
did.
Tub thumping. all right. So, CD out. We're going to hear something off it in the first hour. Drew, you got any questions for Alanis?
No, we're actually going to try to cram two songs into this hour, I think.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Want to get one in right now?
Really? Okay.
What do you think?
Let's do that.
You guys are really cute to watch.
We promised Stryker.
Oh, really?
See, you're cute, Adam. It's good.
I mean, cute isn't just really fun.
I was just skipping rope like a madman, so I haven't stopped sweating yet. So I'm going to mop my brow.
We promised Stryker. We promised Stryker we'd play it in the first few minutes so he could hear it driving home.
Oh, okay. Remember?
Right.
All right.
Shout out to Stryker.
All right. So, Alanis Morissette, first song we're going to play. You cute up there?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called 8 Easy Steps.
Let's get it.
Blue by blaming the heart.
I'll teach you all this in 8 easy steps, a course of a life.
Alanis Morissette, everyone. So-called Chaos, name of the new CD. Alanis, the more I see you, the more I hear you, the more comfortable you seem. Yes?
Comments?
Is that fair? Is that a fair assessment of your life?
I just feel like over the last few years especially, I'm just accepting more parts of myself. So there's not this struggle to not be something. I can be stupid and incredibly smart. I can be vulnerable and empowered and everything. So there's no real struggle against any part.
What is different about you now than 6 or 7 years ago, let's say?
I'm more comfortable with fame now. I had this inner conflict with fame all the time. I always felt like I was wrong somehow for being famous, and yet at the same time, my ego craved it.
Yeah, I'm almost guilty in a way.
Guilty. So now I'm just using it. I use it to fulfill my personal life purpose and agenda.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and that is to inspire people or have people define who they are.
That's where Adam lost you, because his is to make lots of money.
Well, that's a great agenda.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
I love that one, too. Money's great.
Yeah. Well, look, there's nothing wrong with that. I hate it when celebrities pretend like they're not trying to get paid for what they do.
Right.
Money's fantastic. Money's a form of thank-you-ness.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, so bring it.
Yeah, and it's it frees you up.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
you free. Can That's do the... good things for other people with money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ask my loser dad with his Lexus I lease him. He informed me the lease was coming up, and he's looking to move into a Jag the other day.
And are you going
to
go with that?
Yes. Okay. But what he doesn't know is he's getting a little one, which is really the price of like a Ford Taurus. But he doesn't know anything about cars, and thank Christ he doesn't listen to the radio show. That's the point. All right. Don't tell him. Don't anyone tell him. Katie?
Katie?
Yes?
You're 22?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, I just had a few questions. When I was younger, probably about 12 or 13, I noticed that my grandfather was like a little too close to me, and it freaked me out really bad. And I've always...
Come here and give me a hug! Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did he do?
He used to just, when he hugged me, it was always when nobody else was in the room, and he'd put his hand like on my skin, on my back, but he'd never touch anything, like he never touched my breast or anything like that. But he'd tell me, you know, I felt so good and that I had a really nice body and just stuff that you wouldn't really want your grandpa to say to you.
Yeah.
But, and, I mean, would he, I don't know.
Okay, all right.
It's creepy.
It's creepy, it's not
destructive. But would he, there's ways to say you have a really nice body that aren't creepy. You know what I mean?
But
he didn't say it that way.
Okay.
No, I'm asking you.
Hold on a second.
We need to talk.
Yeah.
There's something going on here because she's almost calling her grandfather a molester, but yet so far all we get is a hug, and then you have a nice body. Creepy's creepy, but I'm wondering.
I think she's just curious. I don't think she's screwed up by it.
All right. Katie?
Yeah?
All right.
What is your question?
Well, I just don't know. I've always kind of wondered if it was something that I should have been uncomfortable about or if I was just kind of taking it, like, the wrong way. And I guess,
think
I
the way you took it is fine. It sounds a little bit creepy, a little bit of a boundary violation, but it's not destructive. It's not something that has to, you know, trouble you the rest of your life.
Well, is he good? How is he overall? Beside the hugging part,
he's a good man. I mean, I love him.
How are you overall? Were there other problems with other men that maybe have sort of sensitized you?
It took me a while to get close to anybody. But I don't know if that's why or not. Any type of physical relationship with anybody, like if a guy started to make a move on me, I'd freak out. But now I'm okay with it. So
I'm just wondering if something else happened that
no
made
trauma.
You super sensitive to your grandfather.
Not that I know of, no.
Right. No, you're fine now, right?
Yeah, I'm fine now. Oh. I just kind of always wondered, like, because I feel guilty for even...
All right, well, then stop. All right, then stop. Well, okay.
Let it go. I think that would be a wise thing to do. He's a good guy.
He loved you. And he didn't really do anything. It was more of a feeling. And I understand that can mean something sometimes, but he never really did anything, did he?
It's time to let it go.
All right, so let it go. You're torturing yourself.
Forget how you think about him. You're taking it out on yourself with all this guilt.
Or just include society.
Yeah.
You might as well just make everyone into this, right? Every camp counselor, every gym coach, everybody. All right, Katie.
Okay.
I don't know what's up. Something's up with you, right?
I guess. I don't know. I just felt really weird. And then, like, every time that we were alone together, it was the only time that he would act like that. And then I was always afraid to be alone with him. But it never went further than that. So I can't, you know.
All right.
Well, I don't know. It's weird.
Let it go. Deep cleansing breath.
Yeah, something's up with Katie.
But I think it's solid. We're not going to get to it.
All right. I bet good times, you know. Leo?
It takes all kinds.
It does. Leo? Yeah.
Yes.
You're 23?
How you doing?
What's happening?
I'm Corolla.
Yeah. What's happening, Leo the caller?
Yes.
Say hi to Alanis Morissette.
Hey.
Yes, awesome.
Yeah.
What's up? The show cannot be what it is without y'all.
So. All right.
But,
what's he saying?
I'm in the military. And,
shocking. Thought he was a Harvard boy.
And?
Yes.
No. I just come back from Iraq in April.
Mm-hmm. How was it? What did you do over there?
I was in a company where I was in a very small camp, and I was easily shot at, and it was crazy, I guess. But I was a tank mechanic.
Tank mechanic.
Yes.
All right.
And
did you get shot at?
Yes, often.
Really?
Yeah.
That's some friendly fire.
No.
Warning.
No. All right. And but you made it back in one piece.
Yeah, I did.
And now you have the very valuable skill of tank repair to take out to society.
Yes, of course.
So. Yeah. Now you could probably move that into all treaded vehicles.
Right.
You know
right.
I mean? Tractor vehicles.
Tractor treaded vehicles. Yeah. It's not just tanks. It's half tracks.
With tractor vehicles, with bulldozers. A huge cannon on top of it, especially. Those would be the ones.
But if you didn't specialize in the cannon part. All right, Leo. What's up?
I guess my wife and I, we have a great marriage. We really do.
You and your wife?
Yes.
All right.
And since I've been back, mm-hmm. I just had a first... for about the first few weeks, we were having sex once or twice a day.
Sure.
And since then, it's pretty much died off.
Mm-hmm.
And
can we sort of rephrase that and say it's sort of gone back to normal?
Before I left, it was pretty often.
Oh, really?
At least once a day.
Huh.
Wow. So it's died off. And it's died way off. And
your usual.
Yeah. Have you asked her about that?
Yeah, I have. And I guess she tells me that she's worried about me going back.
Ooh.
And mm-hmm. and I'm going back within the next four months to a year.
Oh, well, first off, that whole Middle East thing will be settled in the next few weeks. I mean, Israel and Palestine and all. I mean, give those kids just a couple of... What day is it, Drew? What day is it? Thursday?
It's done by Tuesday. I'm sure of it. Sure.
No, I'm counting on the weekend.
Oh, done by the weekend. That's
I'm just talking... I'm talking, Palestine and
Lebanon,
the Jews and Lebanon
Syria.
And Syria. Those kids. Yeah. The great group. You can't judge. They're great people. And they just got to bang out. They're just dotting the I's and crossing the T's. It's just by this, maybe Tuesday. Tuesday latest. So when they ship Leo back, it's going to be nothing. They'll probably work on a date farm or something. Just kind of chilling, smoking out of a hookah pipe, hearing distant sitar music.
So Leo's got a
pyramid.
Got
what else?
A
I got
problem where his wife is feeling close to him, and it's freaking her out. She wants to protect herself from those feelings of closeness.
Right.
And she's going to punish him in the meantime.
Not
intentionally, but that's what's happening.
All right. So, Leo.
Adam.
This is going to be a tough one. And I don't know, Alanis, you have any thoughts on this?
This is definitely a women's point of view on.
Yeah, really. My wife is a big fan, so am I.
Oh, well, you could probably command her to have sex with Leo. I mean,
well,
if she's a big enough
she's
fan.
She's afraid of you leaving again? Is that what's happening?
She's a good chance.
We were very, very close, and then she felt by me joining the Army and then leaving as me kind of abandoning her.
Yeah.
And
resentment.
Excuse me?
She resents you in a way.
In a way.
Yeah.
Was it a unilateral decision, this whole, when you were about to leave, did you both sit down and talk about it and go through all of the...
Or did you just do it?
Or did you just go?
Well, we had got together pretty much as I was joining the Army, and that was just before the war started. And I wasn't expecting to be gone as much as I am.
Right. And, there's a whole lot of people over there, I'm sure, who figured, you know, I'm going to sign up, I'm going to learn a skill, I'm get a little money toward college, and all of a sudden they're in Iraq, and it's like, what the F? What's going on? I thought I was going to be in Mississippi.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was a faithful husband.
You were?
As opposed to many others who weren't, and I'm confident she was a faithful wife. I mean, she's a great woman.
Hmm. And,
those that were not faithful, who were they not faithful with?
People in the Army.
Other people.
Yeah, that's all you got over there.
People who were there with.
Yeah, and by the way, I was thinking about this in the past. You got a nice German gal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
you're over there, you're in France, you know. Hey, baby, daddy's home. Bring the roses. Now you're in Iraq. What do you got? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, you got a sheet hanging. You don't know what's going on.
I mean, think
about how much these guys were getting laid. Like in France, they just, hey, D-Day, hey, liberated. Hey, come and get it, ladies. I'm here. Come out of hiding. Come on up. Ring in the dinner bell. Now you're in Iraq.
Yeah.
You're going to be, you think like 20 years from now, we're going to have like a lot of Iraqi wives running around here and like Iraqi half-kids and, military.
Well, actually,
you know what I'm saying? No. Not going to happen.
Most of the women there, like the direct women, they would look at us and like smile at us.
Oh, really?
And their men would just straight up hit them.
Mm. Well,
I mean with wherever they had a whip for the donkey or just their fist.
She should have her hands cut off.
Yeah. We can't judge, by the way. It's a great culture.
Exactly.
And all cultures are the same.
Yeah.
Don't ever forget that.
I was faithful. I mean, I love my wife to death. And,
All right. Leo.
My thought would be just to validate her, you know, her fear of you leaving again and any issues that came up while you were gone. And slowly but surely, I think if you just listen to her and validate her and vice versa, I think you can get back on track. If there's some track to get back to it all.
Well, and get out of the mode of begging for sex or manipulating for sex. Like all guys who want sex from their partners, stop the sex angle. You got to work the
hard angle.
The listening angle.
Listening is godliness.
Angle. Yeah, you got to pretend to listen. You got to feign interest. Feign interest. Watch, Drew. Practice.
Who am I? I'm the
You're gonna pretend to be the husband.
No, say
I'm the wife.
You're the wife.
Yeah, start talking about work.
The kids today were such a pain. I've carted them all over. You have no idea.
Wow.
Oh, you're interested?
Are your shoulders must be tight?
You have no idea.
That's terrible listening.
You've been storing your tension. You're storing your tension.
Oh, that hurts.
You're storing it in your neck.
Oh,
you're storing it in your neck. My gosh, you know, I thought I had a hard job, you know, with being a doctor and doing the radio and getting up. But you know
what?
No harder job than housewife and mother.
Thank you.
And devoted,
people don't realize that.
Horny wife. I mean, yeah. No, you got to listen. You got to just start listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a little massage is nice. Mm-hmm. And
empathy goes a long way.
Yeah. Love.
Well, here's the problem with guys. We want to fix everything. So you start complaining. We're like, well what are we going
to
do about that?
Now you're
angry.
Right.
Now you're angry. Right. You're like, hey, whoa, I didn't ask for a solution. I just want you to listen.
Right. And then that's it. So guys have two modes when the lady comes home and she's had a tough day and she's talking about work and she's like, that Tammy in the other cubicle, she always looks, so she gives me the stink eye and she's jealous because she's fat. And then it's like, we're like, oh, okay, we got to rig her car. We got to cut her brake lines. Do you know where she lives?
How dare you? What are you talking about?
So guys have
listening.
That mode. Guys have
not
the.
Listening.
We got to go screw.
You don't understand.
We got to go get Tammy. That's like number one mode, and the other is what's that? A raise? What?
And neither of them work, right?
Yeah, neither one works.
Both
right.
Make you angry.
No, right. What they want is, oh my God, that must make you feel horrible.
How do you feel? Too much. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well.
No, it's. I understand.
Yes.
Oh,
no.
Yes.
And even say back what you heard in your own way.
Parroting works strong too.
Mirror.
It really works.
Yeah, but you can't do that robot voice.
Can't do robot.
Tammy, bitch. does not compute.
Hard cubicle next door. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Little mirroring, right. Little validation.
Yeah.
Little loving.
Got to do that. And everything start with a massage.
Touch is great. Little that.
Let me draw you a bath. You look like you use a bath.
No, and then let go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Drew, right. Looks
I'm
like
talking to you.
Literally. Actually, I did.
Yeah,
that.
Let me light a candle. I'm going to light a candle.
You just
I'm going to draw a bath. Julie?
Yes.
You're 24?
Yes.
You have a tough day at work?
Seriously, why would a guy light a candle?
A guy would light a candle if he broke wind.
That's it,
yeah,
period.
That's it. Or to get something happened.
Right.
A friend vomited in a potted plant or something.
The electricity's out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Julie?
Yes. Hi.
What's up? Yeah. Tough day at work?
I'm actually on my way to work.
Oh, sweetie.
I work the gray shift. Somebody's got to do it.
Where do you work?
I work at the jail, county jail.
Wow.
Wow.
Overnights. Yeesh.
Uh-huh. First of all, thank you guys for everything you do. I'm sure you've helped so many people.
Yeah. Probably a lot of the people you go see at work.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, first, I wanted to ask Dr. Drew, I've been reading his book, Crack, just about halfway through it, and I had a question about, in the beginning, he said all of his patients have in common is that they've experienced trauma early in their life.
Yeah, and maybe we didn't specify that clearly enough in the book. It's all every single one of my inpatients.
Okay.
And it's not the case that only... You have to have trauma in order to develop addiction, but if your addiction is serious enough that it needs an in-hospital treatment, in my experience, all of those patients have trauma histories.
Okay. Uh-huh. Because I have a brother who's an addict, and we're just trying to figure him out, and I can't think of any trauma he's had as a child.
Well, you've got to remember, it's not just the environment, but the experience of the environment that is key. And so while to those of you around him, he may have seemed like there had been any trauma, but to him, there may have been.
Right.
And so you've got to, question him about that if he's ready to talk about it.
Well, and also trauma doesn't need to be overt sort of movie the week trauma, priest molest him or something. It
can just
be simple stuff.
Right. Again, it's the experience that counts.
Yeah. Hey, Julie.
Yeah.
Women's prison?
There is a women's unit. It's mostly men. It's pre-trial, so it's everybody before they go.
It's jail, not prison.
Uh-huh. And what do you do?
I'm I'm a nurse there. I hand out pills,
Ugh. My God.
What's the popular Risperdal?
I drive through a bad neighborhood. I want to kill myself. I couldn't imagine going to prison.
Is it Seroquel, Risperdal, Zyprexa?
Yeah. Not everybody's on psych meds there. There's a lot of Motrin for people back pain, but... We do have a mental health unit where it's a lot of Risperdal, Depakote, Seroquel.
Yeah.
So
people are just awaiting trial?
Yes.
What are most people in there for?
Drug-related, gang-related, a lot of gang-related items. The females, mostly for fraud or drug-related. I don't really get too much into it. Then I kind of change as a person, as a nurse, I see him maybe in a bad way and might not give him the same care,
Right.
So I try not to figure out
what you don't want to find out the guy stabbed his retarded twins. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Just think he's in there because he had a pot plant.
Right.
Yeah, because otherwise...
It's a little easier to give Midol to that person.
Yeah, that's right. They got a little cramps. Oh, my God. Period in the joint. You know what I mean?
It must all happen at once.
They must all sync up. Yeah, because if women who work together, if their periods will sync up, then imagine spending 24/7 for 30 years.
Yeah.
It's one big
period.
It's a
scene
from
The Shining.
I'd have to clear out. Please. That is grotesque.
I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful. See, that's what I would say. Oh, that's beautiful, baby.
It is beautiful.
No, let me get that tampon for you. You need a fresh one? I'm heading for the bathroom. You need a fresh tampon? You okay?
This is great.
You tense? You store all your tense in your vagina. You want a massage?
It's been released now.
Yes. Alanis Morissette is here.
Great segue again.
We're going to get the show back on track. Yeah. So-Called Chaos, name of the CD. Going to be on Conan O'Brien in Good Morning America, June 23rd. When's Conan then? Is that June Same day?
The day before.
Oh,
the 22nd.
All right. Well, that's a great... Oh, well, it doesn't really tape that late. All right, you can make it. It's
so
cool.
It's 5 o'clock.
Yeah. All right. Well, take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Alanis Morissette is in studio tonight. And let me say this about Alanis. Now, sometimes people call you Alanis, right?
Sometimes. It's an American thing, I think.
The Alanis?
It's the Mazda.
Maybe it's an East Coast thing or something.
Could be.
I don't know. I want to go Alanis.
Yeah. Alanis is Canadian.
Yeah. And I'm hip. And here's my thing. However you pronounce it, sweet pea, that's how I pronounce it.
Alanis.
It's good. Okay, there you go. I don't like it when your dad insists on changing Bin Laden to Bin Laden and that kind of stuff. Like, look, well, whatever it is, that's all. That's what it is. It's however it's pronounced. That's the way we're going to pronounce it.
We have to ask, I guess, the actual person how they want it.
I talked to Benny Lane.
What did he say?
He said it's Bin Laden.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then we'd probably have to go.
There you go. Yeah, that's what I'm going with. That's all I can say about that. Let's go back to the phones and speak to... I wanted to kiss Alanis's... Now I'm screwed up. Bin Laden? Bin Laden.
You say Bin
Atlantic.
You
Alanis.
Say Bin Laden.
Like Atlantic.
I say Bin Laden. Bin Laden.
Bin Laden.
Bin Laden. Bin Laden.
Okay. Let's call the whole thing off. That's a good song. All right, but let me say this. You know, okay, here's some performers are a little angry, but they get their edge. I mean, they're like prize fighters. You know, they're a little hungry because they're on the streets.
Fierce,
and then they get a nice pad, and they get a comfortable life, and then all of a sudden they're not so tough anymore. They don't work as hard. They don't train as hard, and then they start losing.
Interesting.
Not you. You change gears, went a little different direction. You're happy, and you're making good music and selling records.
Thanks. Yeah. It's passion to me. Passionate anger. Passionate. You know, being bored, passionate, anything.
Drew's a passionate man.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, you seem it.
Yeah. You know,
especially leaning back here yawning tonight. You can tell it's bursting out of me.
He could overwhelm you with his passion. Yeah. He could flood this room with his passion. No, he really is. Some people, and I don't know how it works, seem to just have a little more passion.
Right. Drew's a little more fire.
Drew's one of them. Oh, he's got a volcano.
And it looks, yeah.
He's right above.
It looks different in every person, too.
Yeah.
It looks different in every person.
The passion looks different.
Comes in different,
person.
Yeah. It's packaged differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you think Adam's a passionate guy, but.
No, I don't have passion.
The engine's an idol.
I got nothing.
Clutches in.
I don't have passion.
You don't?
Not really.
You have passion for napping.
Well, you show up, so there's a.
I do get fired up about stuff that doesn't seem to matter to other people. But I wouldn't call myself a passionate man, whereas Drew is brimming with passion. He drips and oozes passion. Yes. Thank God he's wearing absorbent socks. Otherwise, yeah, passion would run right,
would
in, right into his loafer. That's right. Jessica?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Wait a minute. You're a boyfriend in jail. Oh, I saw jail, and I thought, wait a minute. Was that the nurse?
No.
No, your boyfriend's in jail.
He's in prison, yeah.
Oh, prison.
Yeah.
Better yet. What's he in for? And don't say parole violation.
Oh, no. He's in for violation of a restraining order.
Oh, that, of course. Another, goes to prison for that.
Yeah. Sure. Because it's like probably 150 feet. And he went 146 feet.
No,
he's from right in prison.
He didn't go to her. He called her on the phone.
And that's why he's in prison.
Not just jail, but prison because of violating.
Yeah. He called her like four times just to see his daughter, and then she'd call the cops and say he was harassing her.
Oh,
yeah, so
man.
Four times he violated the...
No.
Yeah, they gave him 8 months for it.
Listen, he got to have some priors. What he had
before
this? Oh,
he does. He has priors from...
Adam, you're a genius.
Oh.
A genius. You're clairvoyant.
Oh,
you're clairvoyant.
Sense.
How
but
dare
he's
you?
He's such a great guy. How can he have priors?
And it's all that bitch, that girl.
Yeah, but people change.
Sure.
You know? They're not always going to be bad.
No, not always.
Yeah, Jessica, they can change with years of therapy. But if somebody's not doing work, they ain't going to change.
Well,
Well, they'll make you think they've changed to get their needs met, to manipulate you, but they do not change.
Well, first off, let me ask you this. Why should he need to change? A guy was just trying to see his daughter.
Right. It's not his fault.
It's not that he needs to change. It's like from his past. That's what I meant. You said he had priors. Well, you know, he's changed from that. He's
all right.
An adolescent.
He's a new man. Okay. Yeah. All right. How old is he?
He's 21.
All right. Well, he sounds like he's totally reformed.
Jessica, you got to get seriously. You need to get on this planet and look realistically at what he does and not assume everything he tells you is 100% accurate.
Oh, believe me, I do.
Okay.
Right.
We've had long, long talks, and there's been a lot of questioning involved.
Okay, the talks will accomplish nothing.
Were those talks through the holes that were drilled in the plexiglass that was between you?
No, in person before he went
in
stuff.
All right.
The talks are not going to help.
I'll tell you, if I knew I was going in the joint, I would get one of those plexiglass.
So
I wouldn't
you used
mind
to walk around practice? With it?
I wouldn't mind one anyway, but just my wife and I. First off, she spits a lot when she talks. Secondly, we argue, you know, and then if I was ready, and we could do that thing where we touched. You know, put our hand.
Oh, yes.
Put our hand.
Yeah,
she can
I would just roll it around and she'd start turning around. And then I'd be like, at a certain point, I'd be like, I gotta go. And I just hang the phone back up and I walk into the bathroom. Or something, you know, just be funny to have one. Drew, come on.
Everyone's
you're passionate, man. Yeah. Jessica?
Yeah.
All right. So he's out in 8 months.
Yeah. Well, he gets out in November.
All right. And then what?
Well, then he's going to work on getting custody of his daughter or visitation rights.
All right.
But the problem is that the mother of the daughter, of his daughter, has been, like, she'll write him letters in prison and saying that she loves him and wants to let him see his kid and stuff and wants to make it easy. Mm-hmm. And then when he tells her to write her back, but then when he does, she turns it into the cops and she calls to his mom's house and makes a lot of threats and she tells him that he can't see any of his family or anything like that if he wants anything to do with his daughter.
Mm.
What, say that again?
I don't know.
He can't see his family?
She says he can't have anything to do with his family.
Oh, I got to get... You know what? I love these women. Do you have a sister?
Do I have a sister?
You know what I want? Here's my fantasy where, you know, those like Springer episodes where the guy gets busted cheating and the two chicks he's nailing are duking it out in front of him instead of beating the crap out of him. That's what this is.
Yeah, he's sleeping with this old girlfriend too. I can feel that.
Look. And how much more baggage? How long does this guy's rap sheet need to get? How many kids does he need to have? How many wrecked relationships that flare up every once in a while? I mean, Jessica, you're 20, right?
Right.
How about you find a nice college kid, nice 22-year-old guy?
No, I'm
low.
Not
low mileage. Huh?
Well, I'm happy with the one I have.
How long have you been together?
Oh, we've been together for a year and a half now.
Hmm. You're unhappy with...
How old is he?
He's 21.
Yeah. All right. You're not happy with this guy?
No, I am. I'm very happy with him.
Well, I know.
And it's just hard. Sometimes when he's upset and he doesn't know what to do with, like, Sarah and stuff...
His daughter. Yeah.
No, that's the lady.
Oh, that's the lady. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I got to check my beat sheet.
His daughter is Serenity.
Producer Ann and him.
That's the daughter.
Okay. All right, but look. Okay, here's the thing. As you know, I'm a genius, yes?
Yes.
And literally a millionaire.
Okay.
All right, so here's the thing. I know you think you know things. You don't know anything. This guy's not a great guy. All his amazing predicaments that have nothing to do with him... have everything to do with him.
Yes.
You're screwed up. God knows where your dad is or where he was.
Or what he did to you.
I'm sure he deserves a good kick in the nuts.
My dad's not alive anymore.
I was feeling that. Yeah. Yeah. What happened?
He died in the bathtub.
All right.
Drug overdose?
No, he drowned. He fell asleep.
Alcohol?
No.
Okay, that doesn't happen. Humans don't do that.
Well, oh, sure, Drew. I wasn't told because I just totally fell asleep.
All right, that does not happen. Right. There's no such thing. Your brain will not let that happen.
Well,
there has to be suppressed by some chemical or some severe medical problem.
No.
Okay. People do not drown in the bathtub.
You know how it is. You're swimming, you're floating on your back in the pool, and you doze off.
Yeah, just that's it. Boom, sink to the bottom.
I'd be gone if my nephew hadn't done a cannonball just in the nick of time. I was down on the deep end.
You're sleeping.
All right, listen, Jessica. Okay, I'm done trying to talk. Look, you're 20, you know everything. But here's the thing. Don't get pregnant. That's all.
Don't get pregnant.
Oh. All right, just look, do whatever you want. Just leave me alone, would you? Jesus Christ. Ugh. I feel bad yelling at people that they're injured. They're damaged goods, but they don't know it, and they're angry. And rightfully so, because God knows her alcoholic, junkie dad, left this planet when she was 8, and she had some weird stepdad come in and touch her inappropriately and whatever, and now she's angry. And she should be.
She's angry, but it's interesting. Women excuse sociopathic males. Women that have these sorts of histories, they tend to see him as an injured child that needs protection rather than a manipulative predator, which, in fact, he's now become.
Right. And I love the spin. I mean, really.
She's good.
Yeah, it's like he's trying to make a little contact with his daughter. He's trying to get a little custody of his daughter, Pounce, in the pokey.
Yeah, how dare you.
True. I mean, you tried to talk to your daughter just today.
I got. I was spent 4 hours in the can.
Really? SWAT team took you down for talking to your daughter?
Yeah.
See? Man of passion. One more phone call, then go to break?
No, break because we have to enter the song.
My girlfriend online, they always have sex on the place. All right. Alanis Morissette is in here tonight. Here's what I want to do with Alanis Morissette.
The clapping is great.
We'll play a second Alanis Morissette song, but we'll play it after she's gone. She's going to have to trust us because she's only staying for the first hour.
I'm not invested. You can do whatever you want to do.
Oh, aha.
It's a strategy.
Nice move,
strategy.
Missy. Touché. We're playing it now. We're playing six Alanis Morissette songs. Don't make you up. You just bought
eight.
Now you got eight. You want 10? You want 10 songs?
Yep.
No,
reverse.
I think this goes down to 8.
Yes, I want.
Back to 8.
Jumps down to what it was.
Okay. I want 8.
6.
I want.
Okay, now I'm confused. Okay. We got to take a break. Drew, let's go to the bathroom and figure out how many Alanis Morissette songs to play.
The counter manipulation.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Alanis Morissette is in studio tonight, so-called Chaos, name of the CD. We'll be hearing 13 songs off of that CD. And Alanis says she's got an 8-track, she's got some demo stuff in her car. We're actually going to pull some of that stuff
up. Acoustic songs.
She's got some acoustic stuff. We're going to piece that together in Studio B and see if we can roll that out in about 45 minutes. Hey, it's a nice picture of you in the back there. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Bad Religion in here on Sunday night. Smart. You know Bad Religion? You ever meet those guys?
No.
Smart band. You would be surprised. Lots of degrees in the band. Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Academia.
He's almost a PhD. The one guy.
Yeah, that dude.
He's got a master's in physiology or anatomy or something.
Yeah. They're a smart band, but they know it. I don't like that. I like people that are smart and think they're stupid. Like I like good-looking people that think they're ugly and fat, you know?
Yeah, I like people with lots of assets and poor self-esteem.
Right.
That's the great combo.
That's what Adam likes.
Oh, people laugh, but think about what the opposite of it is.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's dumb as a doorknob and think you're a genius. Yeah. Butt ugly and think you're hot. Come on.
There's something interesting about that, too, though.
That is kind of, it's entertaining, but it's
novelty,
entertaining.
But annoying.
It's novel. Yeah, it's good for 20 minutes. It's sort of like when you're just up late at night and you're flicking through the channels and you come across Roadhouse, Patrick Swayze movie, best bouncer, best cooler in the business. You watch it not because it's good, just because it is what it is, but you wouldn't want to have to see the whole thing. All right, where are we, Drew?
Talking to Randy.
Randy.
Hi, guys.
You're 25?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Oh, not much. I was calling. I have a question for you. I just started dating a girl. We had actually met on one of these online date sites. She had started emailing me. Mm-hmm. And she lives some distance away. It's about 45 minutes away. Mm. And I've offered to come visit her, but she always comes up with an excuse why I can't come over. Her house is messy or something else. And I'm trying to figure out why I'm sort of not welcome at her place. She always wants to come to mine.
You do see her, though?
Yes, yes, I do.
Do you go out in public together?
Yes, we do.
And do you live in the same city, did you say?
And no, we don't. I live in Virginia, and she lives near Charlottesville, University of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And I attend JMU. So.
All right, should we be JMU? Should we be,
yes.
Who knows? Should we be suspicious?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, it's not as though she doesn't take my calls when I call. You know, I can call at any time. Mm-hmm. That would be my first thought. You know, if I call and she wouldn't pick the phone up, maybe there's someone else. Mm-hmm. But I don't.
You go visit her and stay at that Boar's Inn.
I'm sorry? Boar's Inn over there?
Yeah, it's a great hotel.
Drew? I think Drew went there.
I spoke at the University of Virginia. It was this great old inn there.
Yeah, what if...
Why'd you do that?
What do you think she would do if you said, I got some business in your neck of the woods. I'm going to be out there on Friday. What would she do?
I'm not sure. I mean, I've offered, since it is a little distance away, to drive and meet her or come to her place and pick her up. Mm-hmm. But there's always some excuse. Her house is messy or... She lives with her sister. Her sister's there, and we wouldn't have any privacy.
Is there anything about you that might be troubling to her sister? Anything we should know about you or the about her? Or...
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Some people have weird...
Maybe. I mean, it's sometimes people have crappy houses, and they're sort of embarrassed by them, and so they don't want to entertain or something's
really
up with their sister.
It smacks, though, either of some family problem or of an old boyfriend. It just smacks.
Okay, well... She's never mentioned the old boyfriend, and she's actually from New York, New York City.
Uh-huh.
So there's no family there.
Well, there.
But here's the whole thing. If sometimes people are just being nice, like, you don't have to drive all the way out. I'll go to your place. But if you put the screws to them and they go, no, you can't come over. Okay, that's weird, and then now there's something, and then you can say, what's up? I've offered to come out a few times. I've never even seen your place. We've been dating for a few months. What's up? And give her a chance to tell you something.
Maybe it's something like simple, like the sister thinks she's still a virgin or something, and she doesn't want to have to deal with that.
I think it's one of those things where the sister is, like in a bubble or something. You know, I'm pretty sure.
Something's wrong with the sister.
Maybe. In a bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah, like one of those big hamster habit trails,
yeah.
Like a Lucite balls or something. Got some weird immune deficiency thing or something. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Lannis thinks so.
Yeah.
I'm nodding in agreement.
Well, what else could it be? Geniuses have any better ideas? Yeah. They come in and there's plastic separating and you got to put the gloves on to hand them the TV remote and stuff, you know?
She doesn't want him to see that yet.
Yeah, it's shameful. Yeah. All right, Randy. Ask some questions.
Yeah, just listen. She owes you a little explanation.
Randy.
Yeah, tell her how you feel, I would think.
Yeah. You start acting like your name is Jake. You know what I mean? Randy doesn't ask questions. Jake, he needs answers. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What's your middle name, Randy?
Yeah, let's find out. Man, I hope it's good and tough. Randy?
Yes.
What's your middle name?
It's Scott.
No.
It's a little more assertive sounding.
No.
Well, listen, a queef is more assertive sounding when your name is Randy. That's an American term.
I would say I'm very assertive.
It's a male term.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. All right. Okay, Randy. Well, let's start asking the tough questions then.
Okay. So just honesty, the best.
Well, what's the word I'm looking for, it's sort of ridiculous.
This idea that it's okay for her to be bizarre and weird about this and you're supposed to just sort of stand by, it's like, hey, she owes you an explanation.
Challenge her.
But we always get a little suspicious when people don't ask the questions because it's usually
they know the answer.
You get a feeling of what the answer is.
You don't want to know. You don't want to know, kind of thing. It's gonna
and you don't want to know, and it can screw things up, and it can quickly turn into, all right, well, then let's
You know what he's afraid of? She has a boyfriend over there. That's what he's afraid of.
In the bubble with the sister, or is just outside of the bubble?
There or something.
Because it's definitely the whole bubble thing.
I'm not sure he got the sister thing, but he got the old boyfriend thing.
All right. Now what should we do?
Ask him that. We have 20 seconds. Ask him.
What?
If he's afraid to find out that there's some old relationship or something there.
Randy, are you afraid to find out there's an old relationship?
I mean, I trust this girl. I wouldn't...
All right. That's good enough.
I trust her. I mean, and rationalize.
Start. All right. Ask some questions. Yeah. And Randy, you need to get drunk once in a while. Randy's all up in his head. He needs a more visceral. You know what I mean?
Instinctive.
You gotta go to that place Alanis goes when she writes those songs. You know what I mean? She's not
it's
up
that
in her
surrendered
head.
Place. Go dancing.
You got that place. You know the place you go.
Mm-hmm.
Jake's place.
Yeah. You know that place is now. It's gonna be home because she's splitting. Oh. 1 hour. You did the first hour. That's good.
Thanks for having.
Hey, thanks for coming.
You live nearby.
Yeah, you kind of. You're really as the crow flies. Probably 5 miles from here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you come back again, yes?
I'd love to.
All right, baby doll. Alanis Morissette, everyone. We'll take a quick break.
We'll hear 10 more songs.
And we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Alanis Morissette is... heading out of the building. God bless her. She's in a good place.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. She's happy now.
Like every time we see her, happier.
Happier more and happier. Yeah. Yep. And we keep spiraling down. We're heading the other direction.
Or at least just kind of playing flat.
Maybe it's a relative thing.
Yeah.
Maybe they seem happy because we're growing more and more miserable.
Yeah.
Speaking of miserable, Engineer Anderson, everybody, 5 years tonight. Loveline. Now, how do you know it's 5 years to the day?
Yeah, I wasn't telling you so you could announce it. I just thought it was a funny little.
I know.
It was June 10th, and Moby was in, and I remember I marked it down, and I keep records of all the shows, and I remember June 10th. Every June 10th, I always go, Jesus Christ, it's been another year.
Wow. And Moby was in.
Hmm. It was the first night that I actually did the show by myself. The first night that I had Mike looking over my shoulder was actually Pennywise's return.
Oh, really?
When he locked us in the room with him?
Yeah, I was actually on the board. That was the first night I was on the board for Loveline.
Oh, my God.
Baptism by fire.
And Dooley was there that night?
By vomit.
Yeah, Dooley actually stepped in because, like, if you remember, Fletcher would not stop effing the word F.
What a weird night for you to start off. That's hysterical.
Kind of like Adam's first night was kind of screwed, too, wasn't it?
Not like this.
No, my first night on this show solo was with that a-hole Psycho Maiko from...
Suicidal Tendencies.
Yeah. Oh, what a jackass that idiot was. I had to sit there and stare at that fat puss all night. Give me the stink eye across the console.
So anyways, 5 years, good times.
Yeah, it's great.
Great time. I've really gotten to know you pretty good, Adam. I feel like you're a brother.
Hey, buddy.
Drew, you're the dad that I've always had.
You know, we'll see over at that weenie roast, right?
Yeah, but we won't remember. You and I will be so drunk, Adam, I don't think we'll remember.
Yeah, well, why not boost it up a little bit? It's a Saturday.
You have to. Yeah.
Yeah, it's free beer. Maybe.
No, not for me.
Yeah, I think I get cut off at some point, too. Oh, I'll be packing a flask. I'll give you a nip, buddy.
Yeah, I'll take a little hit off that.
That'd be good times. All right, 5 years. And you should have five more. With different hosts. Right. Let's get back to the phones here. Sarah?
Yes?
You're 23?
Yes.
What's happening?
I just don't particularly like sex.
All right.
I thought maybe somebody could help me figure out why.
Are you married?
Yes.
Mm.
Have you ever spoken to your husband about this?
No.
And tell me more what you mean by you don't like it. Do you hate it?
What's that?
Is it uncomfortable? Do you hate it? Is it what is it you don't like?
Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it hurts. And mostly it's just not pleasurable at all.
Mm-hmm. Has it ever been?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's mostly in the past, I'd say, year.
Mm-hmm.
What's happened in that time?
Nothing. I mean, there's nothing wrong with our relationship as far as I can tell. And
you haven't had a child. You're not on medication or new birth control pill, something like that.
I've actually been on the depo shot for about 9 months.
That's it, Sarah. I'm telling you that shot.
That's all.
That shot will shut you down, dry you up, and shut you down.
Great.
Yeah.
That's what it does.
That's a good song.
It's a great contraceptive. And for some women actually enhances their sexuality, but for most, makes them depressed, shuts down the sex drive, and makes them dry.
Whereas, no moisture. Yeah.
dries them up and shuts them down.
A little shot of the Dr. Drew will lube you up and get you started. You know what I'm saying?
Grease you up and go.
Yeah. That's that. In med school, that was his battle cry. Grease them up and go. You know what the Wheeze's one is?
What?
Juice them up and go. The Wheeze always recognized the importance of a wine cooler, too. You know what I mean, for the ladies?
And when that didn't work, he used, what, a mallet?
Yeah.
Spocked over the El Cabong, they used to call him, right?
No, not the Wheeze. No. He didn't need that.
Oh, really?
No. Huh? Paul?
Yeah, I got a question for Adam. I mean, Dr. Drew.
I bet Wheeze dazzled the girls with his talk about funny cars and dragsters. And,
I'll leave the Wheeze alone. He's a good kid.
He is a good guy.
Paul?
Yeah.
Tell me you didn't give him a crap about stuff, though.
17. What's up?
Right?
Yeah. Huh? I was just wondering if self-piercing could, like, seriously damage your body or something.
Well, what do you think?
Well, I tried it about 2 times, but, you know, I don't know. Because, well, some of it got infected.
Well, there you go.
Oh, that's about it?
Where are you piercing?
Oh, I pierced my nose and my lip, but my nose, I had to take it out. Because, that part got infected, and I checked on a website that that if it gets infected, it could, like, do some brain damage.
Yeah,
and kill you.
Maybe too late.
Yeah, could be.
Oh, or okay.
Maybe near your head. You're near your brain, and you're putting things into soft tissue, and that's how you get infections, and it can easily spread to the central nervous system, and that's deadly. That's
Paul.
Bad times.
Yeah.
What's the plan, buddy?
Just try piercing it, because, you know,
yeah,
we like going to the piercing shops.
All right. Well, I'm looking. I'm looking not micro but macro. What's the big plan?
The horizon. When we look down the road.
What does the future hold for Paul?
Music.
Oh.
Mm-mm.
No. Stuff like that.
What are you going to be doing with the music?
I'm just trying to play some music.
Like an organ grinder with a monkey.
Gigs. Not trying to do anything big. You know.
Oh, do you play an instrument?
Yeah.
What do you play?
I play the guitar.
Oh, yeah? You got it?
Yeah.
Oh, why don't you get it? Why don't you play us a little something?
Well, my guitar is broken right now because, you know, the amp's kind of messed up. But
he's been practicing too much.
Okay. He practiced too hard. Yeah. You have a band?
Yeah. Well, I got about 2 guys in it right now. But, you know, that's not really, I don't really need much anymore.
Oh, it seems like you're on a really skyrocket to the moon.
Yeah.
Bullet.
You got a couple guys in the band. The
not really
broken.
A band.
Oh, come on. All right, listen here, buddy boy. What's plan B? I'll tell you what plan B is you working at a video store your whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You need a good plan B.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of interested in computers and technology.
There you go.
All right.
That's it.
Go focus on that.
All right, yeah. Screw the piercings for 10 minutes and focus on the computers.
All right, thanks a lot.
Let's go. Let's break it down, buddy.
All right.
Let's go. Let's get it together now. Let's get a hand in. Hey, that amp? Not a chair. Brian?
You there?
17?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Hey, I had a question. Sort of, my mom had me when she was 11, and I was wondering if that and the fact that I was born premature would have something to do, if it would cause any repercussions later on, physically.
How old is your mom now?
28, I think, yeah. Well, I'm not sure if she had me when she was 11 or she had me after she was 12.
Yeah, well, let's
She's
just go.
She's 28, we'd say she was 11.
Yeah, okay. But he doesn't know. I mean, well, yeah. By the way, don't you want to say, I know, maybe we're, rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic here, but maybe she was pregnant at 11 and had you at the ripe old age of 12.
I don't live with her anymore. I was adopted, thank God. Her mom was 16, too, so sort of ended the vicious cycle.
Right. Well. Wow. Yeah, so, Drew, can you get pregnant at 11?
Sometimes, if as long as you're menstruating.
Oh, man. Oh, and who got her, who's daddy?
Some 18-year-old crack addict. I hate him. I hope he dies. Good times.
Yeah, good times, though. Some of these feelings you have about your biological parents of origin may have an effect on you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the fact that you have loving
adopted
parents.
But you got adopted by good people, right?
Yeah, oh, definitely, yeah.
How old were you when you were adopted?
It's like 3 days or something. Like it was planned out before I was even born. Like,
and what's happening? What's happening now that's causing you to wonder about things?
I'm just wondering because I remember before when I think my mom asked like when I was like 4 or 5 because I had a hernia when I was 4 or 5, so she asked along like that if there would be any like, you know, growth problems or anything, because I'm sort of on the short side as it is. So I was just wondering if, you know, like later on that could cause any, you know, like just growth, just like
the fact that you were premature.
Well, yeah, both that and the fact that my mom was 11 and then her mom was 16. So if no, like anything,
well, that's more of a psychological.
Her mom being 16 is not any big.
Okay, yeah, I didn't think that had anything directly, but just the fact that she was 11 too, you know.
Yeah. Now, what about your mom being 11? It's like eating green fruit. You know what I mean? Like it's not ripe.
Yeah, it's I know. Like my mom, because I was in fifth grade. She's like, yeah, you know those girls in your grade? Picture one of them getting pregnant. I'm like, oh my god, that's horrible. Oh, yeah.
Thank you, mom.
Great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My mom's amazing. She's really cool.
Good. And what about your dad? How's he doing?
My dad's really cool too. He's my parents are sort of religious. I'm not so much, but they sort of let me do my own thing. They're really cool people. They're really nice.
All right. You got to treat them. Treat them good every day.
Yeah. Oh, and Adam.
Yeah.
Well, you were asking before about, you know, how the dogs, you know, they smelled the Duke, even though their nose is so much better.
Yeah.
I got the answer for you. I read somewhere that the dogs can actually tell from just based on that how other dogs, like how, what they're not necessarily feeling, but like what the condition is, like if they're sick or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so by sniffing that, then they can tell like how old a dog is, what the condition is, if they're sick or if they got something like that going on.
Really? Well, yeah. Thank you. Well, first off, you know, there's that that cliche, although it's the worst one I've ever heard, which is, and I can't say the S word on the air, but, you know, like some guy will fart and go like, and everyone will go like, oh, it's horrible. And then the guy will go, it's not, I don't even smell anything. And they go, dog can't smell his own ass. And I always think to myself, really? Spend a good 20 minutes sniffing it. I'm pretty sure he can smell his own ass. He's got his nose in it.
Is that what that the caller is referring to? Is him no. working over his own
no.
ass?
No. No, I'm first referring. I'm first talking about that sort of horrible cliche,
yes.
And not knowing what it means. Really, right. It's horrible. Right. Please stop using it, everybody. It makes zero. If dogs didn't spend the better part of their life sniffing their own ass, it would be great.
Right.
And it sounds good. Dog can't smell his own, but. Spends a significant portion of his day sniffing his ass.
Strangely enough.
That's all he does, really. That's maybe what that's you do. What, that's your
maybe,
job.
But maybe that's where they got that statement from. They figured, well, he must not smell it. He's working it over. He's doing something out of it. But
don't apologize for these people that F up good cliches. Now, the other one is what I was asking is if a dog's sense of scent is 10,000 times more acute than a person's, how can they bury their face in other dogs' fresh Duke?
And their tushies.
Their head should explode.
Yeah, they should retch and vomit, right?
Yeah.
10,000 times the intensity.
You would be a throw-up fountain. I mean...
In fact...
No, listen, Jimmy's cousin Sal has a broken wind and confined spaces and brought people to the point of vomit. I should say past the point.
Oh, really? 50 hobo vomiting. Power. That's 50 hobo.
Yeah, that's hobo. That's
Which, by the way, my kids use that.
They're catching on to hobo power?
Scale all the time.
Well, the show keeps moving, but if people, we haven't talked about in a while, what hobo power is. Hobo power is a unit of measurement for stink, which we don't have currently. Yep. We have, oh, man, that's rank, dude. And we got that, and we're, this is bad, and this guy really...
We have light and sound intensity. We have pressure intensity. Almost every other scent has a scale.
You said scent, but I know you didn't...
Every other sense has a scale.
Yes, there are PSIs and BTUs. Everything has a unit. There's candle power for lights. There's everything... But stink.
Mm-hmm.
Stink needs a unit to measure it by. So you know the difference between, a nice, innocent, silent, but deadly, and then a cousin Sal when he's actually making people vomit at a Huey Lewis outdoor concert.
And because it is a scale in nature, there's certain aspects to it that sort of are theoretical.
Right.
It's a scale up to 100.
Yeah, and here's the thing about this, everybody. I invented the scale. You cannot F with the scale. It's my scale. Right. You come up with your own stink scale.
Right.
You don't mess with the hobo power.
Right. 100 is...
It's theoretical.
The world implodes if we get 100.
Nobody's ever seen 100 hobo power.
Maybe exists in black holes or something. Some
possibly.
Parallel universe. Yeah.
They're
we'll work on those formulas.
There's scientists that theorize, but no hard data.
And then zero also. There's no world that exists with zero sense.
Zero, possibly absolute
zero
a vacuum.
Stink. Yeah.
That's space.
Right.
If you were shot into space,
right.
you would experience zero just before you imploded.
Right.
You would... Or exploded, you would experience zero hobo power.
Now, but even then, it can't be experienced because your nerves just not you're not sensitive enough to pick up.
All right,
hobo.
What's like a basic guy picking you up at LAX in a cab or a shuttle van?
18 hobo.
18.
12 to 18. That range.
He's walking around at 18.
It could be bad. New York, you know.
Yeah,
12. To
18. I say it's a little high on the hobo power.
Okay, 12.
12?
Yeah.
And what's a nice fart?
18 to 20.
18 to 20 range.
25, yeah.
Uh-huh. So what's a 3 or 4? Just when you go into someone's apartment and they got that, had that sofa for a while
yeah,
smell?
Yeah.
You got a cat? You know that smell?
Oh, that's...
Yeah,
that
no, but that's cat with a litter box and stuff. Just,
yes,
I
yes.
know you have a cat.
Yes.
You got a cat in here somewhere. Mm-hmm. That's 3, mm-hmm. 3, 4 hobo power?
Yeah.
And then what is just cat urine?
That's got to be 35 to 4. 30, that can be bad.
That's a low 30s.
Yeah.
And what's 50? 50?
Vomit.
Oh, that's
whatever
vomit.
It makes you vomit.
Oh, that's right. So yeah, cousin Sal got to 50 on the hobo power. So that will make you heave.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone says, oh, I got to 50. I smelled 50, although I didn't vomit.
Not 50.
Didn't do 50.
49, not 50.
Yeah. Whatever it was not 50 because you must vomit at 50.
By definition.
That's right. All right. Chris, you writing this down? You understand hobo power? Unit of measurement. Yes? Yes. HPs. BTUs and PSIs, and now we have HPs. All right. Drew.
Yeah.
Back to the phones.
Okay.
What were you talking about before we got into hobo power? It was important. Oh, the stink.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a dog can smell a joint that's been welded into a truck fender and packed with coffee grounds. He can smell it through the metal, through the coffee. What's he doing burying his face in another dog's ass? And there's got to be a reason for it. And, yeah, I agree with that call. He's trying to see if the dog's sick.
I think he's reading, like, a signature.
Mm-hmm.
Like this Duke's signature.
Available?
It's like, oh, it's Jim. Hey, Stu, get over here. It's Jim. You know, right?
Yeah. I'm wondering if I lined up some of my friends' BMs, if I could tell who they were. Yeah, that's Ray. Oh, yeah.
You know Chris.
Chris, I know. Chris, yeah. Cluster log. Don, I don't know. Jimmy, it's just, I think it's a scent thing.
A loose.
A little sloppy.
He's nervous. Get that.
And the hole's been augered out so many times, it just kind of falls out. It doesn't really, it's not extruded. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference in density between something that's extruded and something that just sort of spills out. Drew, I'm not sure if I could spot yours, and that's probably not a good sign. You know, we've been together for a while.
Depends. I'm crafty.
Yeah.
Different days.
Oh, anus is a chameleon. Something different coming out every day.
But you'll see the passion.
All right. I'll experience it at least. John?
Yeah, what's up?
You're 20?
Yeah, man. Hey, first of all, I want to say the man show needs to come back to the OG stuff, you know, what it used to be.
Thanks, buddy.
I'm missing the old stuff. We all, you know, man.
All right there, John.
All right, but yeah, to the question. I've been pondering this question for the past couple of weeks, and everybody asked doesn't really know. I was just kind of wondering, like, where the semen for women comes from.
There are multiple glands in and around the vagina. There are actually glands in the wall of the vagina. There are Skene's glands and Bartholin's glands, and they produce a lot of fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And it can come squirting out if there's a sufficient contraction.
Mm-hmm. So it's glands.
Yeah.
Fluid always comes from glands, right? The stuff that comes out of you?
Yeah.
I mean, when you do that gleeking thing where you go,
celebrate,
and it comes out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what about men?
Prostate gland.
Prostate gland?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really, you don't, saliva gland, right?
Wait, I think the prostate, I really
What about snuggies?
What about them?
Boogers.
There's a snuggie gland?
Yeah. All right. So all the crud that comes out of your gland?
Basically.
All right. All right, Drew, let's take a break.
Cells that excrete anyway.
I want to examine your fecal matter so you start really learning it. Chris, I need you
in.
Too, because I'm going to need an A and to Drew's B. You understand? How do you feel?
Come
Can
on,
you produce?
Chris, come on. No, it's okay. Go ahead, break.
What did your mom make for dinner tonight?
Oh, no, I was at a cousin's house watching the Laker game.
All right.
And what'd you eat?
Did you do Mexican?
Like chicken strips or something like that.
Okay. That was about 4 or 5 hours ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm hungry now.
No, well, you got to make room. Let's go. I want you to produce Poopy. You and Drew. And then I'm going to examine them. It's nothing funny about this. Drew loves caca humor. It's so funny to him. All right, come on. Seriously, I'm not kidding, though.
Okay.
And I need to freshen up my coffee on the way over there.
I'm on it.
All right. We'll be right back after this. Hey, yo. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Tell you who's going to be in here on Sunday night. A little band by the name of Bad Religion. All right. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Back to the phones. Yes, Drew?
Yes.
And we'll hear another Alanis Morissette song before the night is through as well.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
We owe her one.
Well.
Yeah.
No. I think we're cool. You know what I mean? You get a song an hour. She stayed the first hour. I'm just tired. You know, it'd be nice to be like a regular DJ.
Just sit back. Listen to music.
I see all these guys down at the classic rock station. We take a leak with the guy every half hour, and it's like, what? How can you? And then he's got a Badco superset going, and he's on the pot. you know what I mean? It's like, hey, play song. You don't have to sit here and watch the record go around. You just go out and blow a butt.
Could you identify his BM?
I think I could.
Yeah,
I think I could. I mean, in a pinch,
so to speak.
If I had to. Chris, engineer Chris couldn't make, he's a little reckless shy, we call it, but going to need you kind of focus and rally, before the show's out. All right, buddy?
All right.
Or I'm going to have to come by this weekend and grab a sample. So.
You really need more than a sample, because again, it's just not like a dog for you. You have to see the whole
production. Yeah, I need a cross section. You know, I'm going to be pretty busy with the weenie roast and stuff. Maybe I can catch you on the way out.
All right.
We'll do a map quest over to your mom's place if I find out where that is. And Connie?
Mm-hmm.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, it hurts, like, when I have sex, like, doggy style, when I'm, like, up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm on top.
Mm-hmm.
But every other way, like sideways or when I'm on the bottom, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
What part hurts?
Like, what's wrong with me?
What part hurts? At what
like
point does it hurt?
My vagina. Like in, right. Inside. Right.
Way deep. When there's deep penetration you're talking about.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. And have you had a pelvic exam recently?
No.
Have you ever had a pelvic exam?
Hello?
Have you ever had a pelvic exam?
Yeah.
And when was the last time?
Probably like 2 years ago or something.
All right. So that needs to be done every year, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you need to get in and see if there's something that he's hitting that could be causing the pain, like endometriosis or a cyst or infection. There's various things can do that.
Avocado pit.
Or nothing.
That happened to me. You.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, baby doll.
Take care of yourself. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Everything's cool?
Yeah.
Okay. You're in love?
Yeah.
All right. What are you doing? Hold on.
What
smell,
do you mean?
I smell a little junior college.
Yeah, I'm in college.
Which, junior college?
No, Sac State.
Sac State.
Uh-huh.
It's
Sacramento State, yeah.
Yeah.
The guys at Northridge laugh at the sex date. All right, baby doll. It's funny. You know, it's funny because I got a faint whiff of junior college, but not an overwhelming, pungent nose full of junior college. It was just that
12 hobo.
Yeah, off in the distance, I smelled junior college, and I was wrong. It's not junior college. It's Sacramento State. But I bet you if you flew over Sacramento State, you could smell just a little junior college coming out of there.
Yeah. You know?
But it didn't hit me hard. Sometimes it hits hard.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Adria? Adria? Yeah. You're 18? Adria.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a neat name. Did your mom make that up?
I think she did, because no one else named it.
Yeah. You ever ask her?
Yeah, but she made it up.
Is it some ethnic implication or something?
No, I'm white.
Okay. All right, what's the question?
Well, I got married about a month and a half ago, and it was a secret. Just my husband and I knew, and my mother-in-law recently found out, and she forced me to call my mom and tell her, and I couldn't bring myself to do it, so I told her that we were eloping tomorrow, and now she's telling me to put it off for 2 weeks, and she wants to have a little ceremony, and I'm already married, and she doesn't know, and the reason it's such a big deal is because my husband asked my stepfather for my hand in marriage after the fact.
Mm-hmm. So he said no.
Truth. What?
No, he married her and then asked.
Exactly.
Right. All right. And so, all right. Let me try to figure this out. How old is your husband?
He's 19.
19. Why the rush to get married?
We weren't really thinking. And we covered it up a month and a half. My mother-in-law is not really even on speaking terms with us right now.
No, you're not answering the question.
By the way, this is going to last forever.
Yeah.
These kids are going to make it.
Yeah.
I can feel it. Yeah. Why get married at 18?
We're in love.
Oh, all right.
Strange, a show called Loveline, love is never an acceptable response to any of our questions.
Well, all right, but they're young and they're in love. And so you snuck off and got married somewhere and didn't tell the family. And now you decided you should tell the family you're going to get married just so eventually it seems like what you are is what you are. And now they want to have a ceremony, but you're already married.
Exactly.
So you're going to run through the sham tomorrow, and that's that.
We're going to pretend to run through the sham tomorrow, but now my mom wants to be involved, and she wants to have a little ceremony, and we can't do that because we're already married.
Yeah, well, now what about that, Drew, getting married twice?
I don't know.
Yeah, you can do it because people renew their vows.
Yeah.
Drew, your wife never,
she's not pushing me on that one.
Yeah.
Okay, your wife's pushing you on that?
Oh, no. Are you kidding? She's sorry about the first time. So listen, just go through the stupid thing, would you?
But isn't there paperwork? Won't we have to fill out the marriage license again? And
here's what you do. Here's what you do. You tell your mom. You got to keep the lie going because you already got it started. Now you tell her that you're heading down to the courthouse. You're going to take care of all that stuff. You just show. You don't show her any paperwork. You just, we're going to take care of that. We got all this. We got all that. And we'll just have the ceremony. She doesn't need, there's no paper. They don't have contracts and paperwork and stuff ceremony.
Sometimes the clergy will have you sign the marriage certificate right there. But just keep the clergy out of that and don't let your mom go down to the courthouse with you. That's it.
Did you hear Drew's slip up, by the way? Death certificate? Death certificate? Yeah, that's what it is. And I believe he started calling the courthouse the whorehouse, too, by the way. What are you, punchy tonight? You just sign a death certificate and head down to the whorehouse. Yeah. Yeah. You and your mom wants to, register you somewhere so you can get some gifts and stuff, right?
She's told me that she would be embarrassed to tell the family that I eloped.
Okay. All right. No, just give her, look, just, look, here's the thing about parents. Once you turn 18, you just got to lie to them about everything.
See, that's the thing. She's still so dependent on her parents. It's like she's 14.
Yeah, well,
and she's doing all these things on her own, but the reality is she's completely in the web of the mommy. Can't even.
Yeah. Yeah, this is why, again, at 18, it's
ridiculous.
True. How different are you now than what you were at 18? And how different were you at 28 and 34?
Than now, even?
Yeah.
Yeah, different. Profoundly. And at 18, my name was Methuselah.
Yeah.
Totally different guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's Methuselah? I don't know. You know? Yeah. All right. Drew, stop reading all those Greek tragedies. Rusty?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a guy's name isn't Methuselah. Methuselah. Rusty?
Yes.
Your name's not Methuselah.
No, I'm afraid it's Rusty.
Yeah. Now, is your name Rusty because you got red hair or just because your name's Rusty?
It actually, my last name is Rusty, but everybody calls me that. Because the Rusty Griswold.
Right.
I kind of have that same thing. So I've been called Rusty my whole life.
He's talking about National Lampoon's Vacation.
Yeah.
All right, what's
the question? My brother always called it to me and kind of stuck.
What's your real name, just because it's interesting?
Mike.
All right. Yeah. What's going on?
Rusty has a little more romance to it.
Mm-hmm. Nausea during any kind of sexual arousal.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes sporadic, sometimes long, sometimes real quick, but it's always there.
Bad times.
Even if you're by yourself?
Yeah, he's by himself or with a girl. Hey, sometimes I can get by it, but it's always...
Did he say if he's by himself?
I think he did. Why'd you say he's...
Any kind of sexual arousal, it's there. It's a presence.
Yeah, but you said when he's by himself.
When I'm by myself or when I'm with a girl.
Okay. Very
whenever
suspicious.
Whenever I'm sexually aroused.
I know. Whoever screws up that tense?
Schizophrenics do.
Oh, really?
They talk in the third person, yeah. Or somebody who's talking about somebody else and making up a story, make it seem like himself.
Is that a tense, by the way?
It's, that's the word I'm looking for. It's too late at night for
Methuselah?
Me. Yeah, I came up with that.
Rusty?
Yes.
Are you schizophrenic?
I don't think so. I mean, I've never been diagnosed.
Okay.
But I'm basically what I'm saying is that I'm admitting that I might have been abused. And I've never really thought about that or admitted that, but...
Who may have abused you? Who may have abused you?
It was a babysitter, family friend kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
How old were you?
Well, it started in the, the fifth grade summer, and then basically continued through my freshman year in high school.
And this was a male?
No, it was a female.
Yeah. You could do worse.
And do you get nervous when you're...
pretty good at the time, actually.
Sure.
You know?
Let me ask a couple of good questions about this chick. Started when you were how old?
11.
11?
I was 12 years old after my fifth grade summer, and that's when she started babysitting.
All right. So from 12 to, 15 or 16, you're having sex with her?
We never had sex, but she was very sexual.
Mm-hmm. What'd she do to you?
Variety of things. A lot of times I just sat there. I just sat down, and she would, come up to me and start doing sexual things, almost, I don't know, lap dancing things, I guess you could.
Yeah. How old was she?
You know, I'm not exactly sure. She was at a junior college there.
Uh-oh.
That my mom knew.
Valedictorian,
kind of hooked up with her, and my parents got divorced, and my mom wasn't around as much. And
yeah, this is kind of riffraff you pick up at junior college.
She was there.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, she was on the dean's list. This is one of the good. This is one of the good ones.
She was pretty smart. She was
sexy. Well, wait a second. You were in high school when this ended. You were in the 10th grade. Was she 25?
Ninth grade.
Was she 25 or was she 40?
I would say that's probably the age range. It was like probably 23 to 27 or something like, I guess. I never really knew her age.
And you
we
were
didn't really talk that much, actually. I mean, we didn't really communicate that.
This is wacky, isn't it?
Yeah, there's something left.
I mean, look, if this happened twice, all right, you never knew her.
4 years and never spoke. And
years
hours
and years
together.
Go by. And by the way, she's babysitting you, I would presume, for a number of hours.
Right, not, of course.
So the sexual thing is a small piece of the babysitting pie.
There's a ton of things we got to figure out about this.
Let's have to Rusty a little more.
Talk about anything, serious.
Okay, but first off, most guys would end up falling in love with this person.
I never talked to her or saw her outside of babysitting. So
I know.
Yeah, but you would develop some
even
attachments.
Inside of babysitting, there'd be feelings.
I was definitely attracted to her, and I mean, I thought I was in love with her, but what was going on didn't constitute any kind of relationship that would have been real. Or, I mean,
yeah, I know, but 12-year-old boys just they don't think logically and rationally that way.
Well, I thought more rationally as it continued.
They don't know the difference in real and unreal.
Did you get any oral sex?
No, never got oral sex, but she would touch me down there, and I would masturbate in front of her, and she would allow that to happen. It was sometimes it was good, but sometimes it got uncomfortable, and
Yeah. All right.
And wait.
What?
And you're okay otherwise, Rusty? You have no other problems?
Well, now the problem is, basically when I'm with a girl,
the nausea.
Right now, when I get aroused, I can basically get by with it. I can kind of get over the nausea. But if I'm trying to be like a long time with a girl, half hour, it's an issue about half or more of the time.
And then do you ever vomit?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes it's quick, and it just, kind of feels good to vomit, or it's going to stick with me. It's like, I guess, kind of a car sick thing, I'll come quick. And
I'm hip. All right. Got to get some therapy.
I guess.
And maybe a Dramamine patch or something.
Could be something to help him from vomiting.
True. By the way, they pull that stuff off the shelves?
Dramamine?
Yeah.
I think it's still out there.
You gotta get a prescription now or something.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because, you don't want people abusing those band-aids and emotions.
Oh, the scopolamine, yeah.
Yeah, people, close your eyes and imagine what would happen.
Scopolamine actually has lots of side effects.
Yeah.
The Dramamine, not so much. But here's the deal. I'm still worried about him having used that change in
what?
We're calling it tense. It's gone from the I to the he.
Yes.
To the third person. It's a change in the person.
Yes.
And that was a weird. That was weird. And he has a sort of a detached quality about him. I'm trying to figure out.
Yes, there is something very
robotic,
detached about him.
And then this very strange somatic physical symptom just from arousal is very unusual. He needs a full assessment here.
He needs like a workup.
Yeah.
And maybe not only a psychologist, but a psychiatrist.
I think a psychiatrist.
All right. All right, Rusty. Get yourself some help, buddy. You could do worse at 13 than the, chick that wanted to dance naked in front of you. But freaky.
Thumbs up.
We'll take a break. We'll be back.
Well, that Rusty was an interesting call. And I sometimes feel like we need to explain ourselves when we sort of seem to be going off in a certain direction with a caller.
Yes.
And people are wondering, why aren't they answering the question?
Okay.
Let's explain. I mean, he used the third person to describe himself in a way that gave us a very unusual feeling.
Yeah, he said
it was not a mistake. It was.
He didn't say I don't do this. He said he doesn't do this.
And then he talked as though he was talking about somebody else the entire time.
Very robotic.
Yeah, not that he was
detached.
Yeah, not that it was bogus, but that he was detached from himself to the point where it was like he was describing somebody else.
Drew and I really dug into this in the bathroom about 2 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Your kids, you know,
and there,
you think we don't care because we kid, but we're in the bathroom getting into this stuff.
Right.
Either that or I'm complaining about my family.
Or sifting through my Duke. That's the other thing you're trying to identify.
Well, I got to identify.
To be fair. In Rusty's case, it really does sound like he may have what's called a schizoaffective or some sort of schizophrenic type of condition where there is that detached quality.
Mm-hmm.
So it needs to be evaluated. That's why you both said psychiatrist for the end of the call.
That's right. Brittany?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Basically, I've been depressed for, 2 months. I've been cutting.
Uh-oh.
And it's gotten, really bad at home. My dad yells at me, and my mom's just really strict. And so I got my belly button pierced, a few weeks ago, and my mom's, saw it. And she's, take it out, and then... I couldn't really take it out, so she took me to the doctor, and then the doctor made a deal with me that she would, look at my cuts, and then she would let me keep it. And so I did, and my mom's you're really not happy here, are you? And I was no. And so she's well, then we'll find somewhere else for you. And so she's promised me that she'd find somewhere else for me, and she's been looking. And then...
What do you mean find somewhere else? Somewhere other than your home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kitty kennel.
A hospital?
Well, I don't know. She told me that she found this one place, this other person that I used to see, for therapy, and she said that she could take me in. And so I'm well, can I think about it? And she told me that she'd give me, a couple of days. And so I'm just, running out of answers, and I don't know, what to do.
Okay. Your mom, now this is your biological mother?
Yeah.
Phone's cutting in and out.
Yeah.
We can't hear the answers. Well, now it's cut off completely.
Yeah.
No, I'm still here.
Okay. This is your mother and your father.
Yeah.
Biological.
Yes. They're biological.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like a threat. But on the other hand, if you're, acting out, your mom's at her wit's end and maybe doesn't feel like she's capable of taking care of you, then maybe she does plan on taking you somewhere.
But it sounds like they're trying to place her in some sort of therapeutic community.
Yeah, she promised me that she'd find somewhere for me. One day she came in my room and she was crying. She's like, Brittany, I'm trying to help you. And I just, tried to get away from her. She was, holding me down. And I was like,
Why don't you give in to her?
I hate her.
And her wishes. Well, why?
I don't know. Okay. I just, the way they treat me, they yell at me all the time, and they make me feel really stupid. And whenever my mom touches me, I just want to, shrink away, and I get so mad at her, and I'm really pissed off and stuff.
Do you have an eating disorder, too?
What?
Do you have an eating disorder also?
No.
What do your parents do?
They're lawyers.
Oh, no. My God. I'm so tired. I couldn't move my mouth. But attorneys. I said, what do your parents do? And I just went, attorneys in my head. And I rarely ask unless they're attorney. It's always attorney. Well, last time, actually, mom was a lawyer and the dad was a doctor or something like that. But,
My dad has a temper. And he promised me he wouldn't yell at me. And he's like, I'll give you $10 each time I yell. And he continues yelling.
True. I guess it's hypothetical. Worst couple. Attorney, publicist. And I know publicists are all gay, so there's no such thing as a real, heterosexual publicist. But hypothetically, if there was such a thing as a straight publicist.
That'd be okay.
Worse, though, than I would say worse than attorney.
You think so?
Attorney, yeah. So
the thing about the attorney is they are so in their head with everything that they really deny the existence of emotional process.
Yeah.
And everything can be sort of willed into submission.
Yeah.
And are understood through, sheer grit. And it's not the case. There are things that are experiential.
Well, Brittany.
Yeah.
Do you think that you could stop acting out, not for your parents, but for you?
Well, I've tried, and I don't know. People have told me, keep on trying to be happy, and I try.
Happy.
Let's get some help for you. Find a way that you can get real relationships outside of the home so you're not
being...
What do you mean? Like a therapeutic relationship, somebody who's there for you.
I have been, and I was seeing someone, but she just wasn't working out, and so I guess my mom's trying to find someone new. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, here's what I'm asking you to do, Brittany. I know you resent the hell out of your parents.
Yeah.
Believe me, they're worse. parents than your parents.
Right.
We talk to people all night, every night, whose parents are physically, sexually abusing them. They're living in squalor.
It's strange those people idealize their parents.
They like their parents.
Yeah,
right. So here's the thing, Brittany. How about for your sake, you just give in to it just a little bit, let your mom do what she thinks best for you, and just let it go.
And not define yourself against your parents.
Yes.
Everything is about responding to them, repelling them.
Right.
No. Just relax. Just find somebody that can help you sort through your feelings so you can get what you need from a relationship and get on with your life and have a happy life. That'd be the ultimate revenge. Huh?
Speaking of happy, Hannah's been on hold for 110 minutes and used inhalants when pregnant. Wants to know if the kid's messed up. How old's the kid?
Hello?
How old is your child?
Oh, I am only about 6 to 7 months, or weeks, I'm sorry.
Weeks? Oh, yes. So you used inhalants and you didn't know you were pregnant.
Yeah, I just found out last Friday that I'm pregnant, and we're estimating that's about how much. And
I did
the whole whipped cream charger whip it thing. Oh, I probably did about 6 to 8 of them.
Ain't no big thing.
You sure?
That's nitrous.
Yeah, it's a little nitrous. Your kid's going to be fine.
Okay, so it shouldn't affect the development or anything?
You got to not do it anymore. But
oh, obviously. I've quit everything. I'm trying my best to take the best care of myself I can.
All right. Good. Yeah, fine. Right. And what are you going to do? No, kid's fine. They do the whippets. They're good. I saw in the Scooby-Doo 2 thing. I saw Scooby and they're sucking on
the latest thing.
Sucking on the whipped cream can.
All the junior high school kids are into it now.
Yeah, I saw it on the Scooby thing. Can't be bad.
Really?
Seemed a little responsible when I saw it on the trailer.
I know.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Well, that's it, kiddies. Another fabulous week put safely to bed. I want to thank Alanis Morissette for coming in here tonight. Look forward to a little Bad Religion tomorrow night. I want to thank producer Ann. I want to thank Junior producer Lauren for doing a great job all week. Engineer Anderson, 5 years to the day and still going strong.
Amazing.
And also engineer Chris here in the studio.
Who you can now identify by his Duke.
That's right.
Nice.
So, until next time, this is
Brian.
Oh, phone screener Brian. Sorry, phone screener Brian. Out of sight, out of mind. Know what I'm saying? Thanks, buddy, for doing a fantastic job all week long. So until next time, Sam Crowley for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
I say Bin Laden.
Let's call the whole thing off. That's a good song.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Eagold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.